Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston. A very warm welcome to everyone listening tonight. The big theme of tonight is secondary schools. What exactly should we be looking for when choosing a secondary school for our children? Should our children decide? Should we? We're the parents. Or should it be a joint decision? And which factors do we need to take into consideration most importantly when selecting a school?
That's it. And there's so much to think about as a parent, you know, and there's so much responsibility in your shoulders because you're talking about effectively deciding probably one of the most pivotal phases in your children. No pressure in your children's lives. So first up, we'll be speaking to Danny Zur, who's the director of theschoolrun.com. And that's a website to support parents of primary school children. So we're going to ask her what our priorities should be.
And we also, of course, need to get teacher perspective. In this case, we've got deputy head perspective. And we're going to be speaking to David Bullock from Verulam School in St Albans and Morag McCrory from Beaumont, both who'll be here giving us inside tips on choosing a school that puts our children on the right path for a successful future.
Great. So first up, we're going to talk to Danny Zur, who should be on the phone to join us this evening. Danny, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No worries, nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit now, the school run is focused on primary school children, so you must get a lot of parents who are coming towards the end of primary school who are frantically trying to find out what the deal is with secondary schools.
We do, obviously. I mean, we have children going right the way through from reception, and obviously as it gets towards year six, the focus in year six, at the very beginning of year six, is how do I choose the right school for my child? And I think that the line that we often take is that it's not just about academic results, despite what you might think. It's not just about Ofsted results. Really, as a parent, you know your child best, and you have to think about what's going to make your child happy all round. Just because, I'm a really firm believer that just because a school has been right for one child, one sibling, it doesn't mean it's necessarily right for another sibling. And in fact, my three children have all gone to different schools because I felt that there was different things that will benefit them. So I'd say for a parent, the place to start really is to look at your child, look at what they're like, and then go out and look at the schools around you and try and find the right match.
And what elements do you look for in trying to find the right match, Danny?
Well, so obviously if your child's got a special educational need, then that's going to be very high up. You want a school that really supports SEN. Does your child have a particular interest? So if you know your child's very passionate about music or passionate about sport or science, there might well be a school that really excels in those areas. Think about things like travel. If you've got a child who really hates early mornings, gets really tired, you might want to consider a school that's not a very, very long journey away. So little things like that, I think, actually make a difference when you're choosing. When you're just looking at the initial list, you know, really think about kind of your child and don't just think about the academic, kind of how the school does academically. Think about the pastoral side of it, what your child is going to, you know, your child's going to grow through teenage years, your child's going to become an adult in that school. You want them to give them more than just a good set of results, and you really need to kind of match that to your child's needs.
And Danny, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Because the child that enters secondary school will not be the same child leaving it. So it's a massive decision. But I suppose we parents just have to, you know, follow our instincts and try and be attuned as much as possible to our child's passions and interests when they're 11 and 12 as we can be.
Yeah, I mean, things I'd look at, that I've looked at, is the size of them, as well as distance. I've looked at the size of a school. So, you know, for one of my children, I felt really strongly that actually a big school would be fantastic. He's very sociable. He loves it. And he was very happy in that. I've got another child who actually is much more, kind of more lacking in confidence, actually will probably do much better in a school that's much smaller and has kind of a very good community feeling. So take those things into account. Look at things like extracurricular activities that are offered. If you've got a child that loves sport, you want a school that really offers lots of those after school. If the child's really into music, do they have a good orchestra? Think about things like how your child likes to be disciplined, which I know sounds strange, but if your child is somebody who really responds well to a softly approach, then you're going to want a school that has the same approach. Or if you're a child who really can't concentrate if the class is being disruptive, you're going to want a school that's got quite firm discipline policies. So you know, consider things like that again before you select your schools. And obviously the key thing is that when you actually go to visit the schools, go prepared. Go, you know, don't just go in and hear. I mean, the head teachers will have a fantastic story. They're really selling their schools to you. But go prepared with a list of things that you want answered. Remember that actually you're interviewing the school when you go and see it.
And I think you've made a very good point, because often when parents enter the secondary school, they've no idea which questions to ask. They kind of look around, it looks nice, it's nice and tidy. They meet some students who are obviously the best students put forward for the job. And then they don't know what to ask. They don't know how to judge it, or how, you know, the best tone to take with teachers, or sometimes feel very uncomfortable asking.
Well, that's it. Will you feel like, well, you are back in school. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. And I mean, when I get back into a school environment, I feel like I'm the student again. So it's very hard to kind of overcome that kind of sense of fear and, you know, and it's daunting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things I'd say to look for then is you don't actually always have to go on the open evening or the kind of the set-up session that the school has arranged. You might be able to go on just a normal school day, and then you'll get a much better idea. You'll be able to see it through your child's eyes. Look at things like, you know, are the children that you meet in the corridors, are they confident and polite? You know, because that's, you know, hopefully how your child's going to be at it. Look at the standards of behaviour at the beginning, at the end of the day. It's interesting to drive past the school at the end of the day and see how the kids come out of the school. Do they come out in an orderly way, or do they come out, you know, screaming and shouting? Have a sneaky peek round the school whilst you're there. You know, it's not just the kind of the guided tour that you take it on when the school is looking at its best. It's interesting to look in the toilets or the library or the lunch hall. Look at the displays on the walls. Are they up to date? What do they look like? That'll give you a really good sense of what the school's like when you've scratched the surface a bit.
And Danny, I think you gave some very good advice about being child-led. You know, whatever your child you think as a parent it will suit them as a good direction to move in. And someone texted us earlier and suggested as well that that it's useful to find another parent, possibly with a child with a similar character, to see, or a child who's particularly gifted in music, then ask how they got on. Try and find the sort of, you know, the veteran parents who've been through the school and understand how it works, because every school obviously has a different culture as well, doesn't it?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, teachers, as I said, will give you a great story about their school, but actually it's the parents who will really tell you how kids feel at school, and that you can really ask those questions to. And also other kids who are there now, ask them how their experience was in the Year 7 transition. Ask them how they're managing with homework. Ask them whether they're having enough time still to go out and play. So, yeah, don't just rely on what the school tells you, but, you know, use other parents. And then, exactly as you say, that's a really good point that your listener made, that if you know another child that's similar to your own, then the school they've gone to is doing well for them, then that's a really good recommendation for you.
Now, something we haven't really touched upon is quality of teaching, which some might argue would be, you know, a very high priority. And we'll have to ask Morag a little bit later on. But, you know, how do we know the teaching is very good in the school? Well, we've got a few things to judge it by. You know, we've got an Ofsted report, which, depending on who you talk to, people think it's worthless or really worth its weight in gold. And we've got, you know, just sort of parent view on Ofsted. We've got that kind of those sort of measures. How do you think about that, Danny?
I mean, I'd look at a couple of different things. I'm interested, when the child goes into Year 7, how they are then placed in terms of a set. So does the school look at Key Stage 2 SAT results to stream them, or does it also do the combination of SAT results and the CATS results, the cognitive test that they take, and reports? Personally, I prefer a school which takes a whole variety of information to help place the child in the first term, and then is completely flexible about moving the child again with the first term. You don't want your child to get stuck in a particular set and then find that they actually find it very difficult to move. And also think about how they set children. I think this is really important, because a lot of parents don't really understand it, but some schools will put their child in a set based on perhaps one SATs result. So it might be that they did very well in their SATs results, so they're in good sets across the board. But it might be that actually they're very good at maths, but they're not quite so good at English, so actually they should be in a slightly different set for English. So as a parent, even though it's kind of quite confusing, I think it's worth you understanding how your child will be levelled when they go into the school. And there's no reason you can't be asking, even though you're kind of very focused on Year 7, you can still be asking for GCSE results And another really good metric is actually finding out how many children actually stay on for sixth form, because if there's a large proportion of year 11 children staying on for year 12, I think that says a lot about the school, that the children have really enjoyed their experience so far and that they've had good results and they're therefore, you know, happy to stay on to sixth form. So, I mean, the other thing I would say is as well is, obviously, an Ofsted report and GCSE results are good metrics, but the other thing to bear in mind is how your child will progress, you know, kind of overall, not just in terms of the actual results they get. So what I mean is, a child who goes in at year 7 at a particular level, when they leave in year 11 or year 13, are they a much higher level compared to where they came in on? Does that make sense?
I think that used to be called a contextual value-added score, which is parents never had a clue what it meant. And yet, Maura, I'll bring you in the second word, that it was the most important statistic of all in school data. Would that be correct?
It was in a lot of ways. I think now they've actually made it much easier for parents, actually, because they talk about how many children have made expected levels of progress and more than expected levels of progress, which I think is an easier thing to actually understand. And that data is available, so you can find that out as a parent. And that, again, looks at everybody and where they came in and where they ended up after 5 years from year 7 to GCSE and how many students have progressed or made better than expected progress.
So, Morag, what is your response? You're the expert, you're running Beaumont. So give us your feedback on all the wonderful tips that Danny has given us there.
Well, I agree with a lot of what Danny said, actually. I think you do need to look at a range of factors there. I think parents should look at results, but they should look at lots of results. Don't just take that headline figure. Think, how do children like my child get on in this school? Certainly you should look at Ofsted reports. They are this objective measure, but there is nothing to be actually going and visiting the school, making your own impressions, talking to children that are there. You should have lots of opportunities to talk to children at the school when you go around for a visit. Certainly go to open evenings, but do go on tours that schools organise during the day, because you will get a real flavour of that school from just visiting, walking around, sticking your head into classrooms where you're taking, being able to really get a feel for what the school is like. And I think that is important as anything else, how you feel and how your child feels at the end of those visits.
Now, Morag, something that's very important is school culture, because they all have their different approaches and
Absolutely.
Policies. And it's only when you begin a school you actually realise the true culture of it. It might be very academic or less academic or into really, you know, sport in a big way, or have particular policies that you may not agree with, but you're not sort of aware of it until you're quite far into that journey with the school.
I think it is that idea of going along there and saying, I know my child, so my child's very sporty, so what is there for them to do? Or my child's very academic. Or if you want to say, my child's a bit shy and I'm worried how they're going to make the transition from year 6 to year 7, this is going to be a much bigger school, what are you going to do to help them? So really go with some questions about your child and what's going to be important for you in making that change from year 6 to year 7, and being confident that the things are there that your child is going to need at that moment.
Now, one of the things we did talk about was quality of teaching. How do we know we're getting the best of teachers at Beaumont, for example?
Well, I think, again, Ofsted is a really good place to start with that. I mean, when they do come and visit schools, and we had this inspection very recently, I think they saw over 50 lessons. So that, you
Which
know,
is a huge
that's a
number.
Huge number of lessons.
I mean, it must be give you such a broad spectrum of,
yes.
of teachers and feelings of different classrooms.
So they really do go that. Is the main thing that they are doing during that time that they are in school is going and looking at us teaching in classrooms. But of course, schools wouldn't be getting good exam results if the teaching was bad. You know, if the teaching was bad, how many children stay on beyond compulsory school age? They're not going to do that if they've had a bad experience. But again, ask the students when you go around, you know, do they enjoy their lessons? You know, look at the quality. I agree with Danny, look at the quality of what's on the walls. Is there celebration of students' achievements? Can you have a look in books? Often when you go again on an open evening, there'll be students' work on display. You can see what's happening there. And I think just talk to the teachers. You know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier about this being quite daunting for parents, I think when you go to a school, hopefully they should make you feel welcome. You know, is it warm? Is it friendly? When you talk to the teachers, do you feel a confidence in them? I think, you know, your gut instinct is always a really good thing to go by when you're going to look at a school.
And is it the case, let's talk a little bit about, because it's something on parents' minds, these SATs and these CATs. Now, for parents listening who have no idea what a CAT is, can you explain it more, Ag?
Yeah, a CAT is called a cognitive ability test. And I guess it's a little bit like an IQ test. And an awful lot of schools will do some kind of basic IQ testing fairly early on. They may use CATs. There are different programs, and some schools use a thing called MIDGIS, which again is the same sort of thing. And it just gives us a little bit of an idea of children's underlying abilities, and they can be very useful. We can find out, for example, that some children get a very high quantitative score, so they're very mathematically able, but maybe their literacy is a little bit it's a little bit weaker. And we, schools use this together with the information that we get primary schools to really try and get a picture of students' strengths and weaknesses, and to make sure that if children need support, it's being put in the correct place, and if a school does set, that children are in the right set. So it's just an extra bit of information that tells us about the students, so that schools can make sure that they're meeting their needs properly.
Do most schools put children in sets from age 11, most secondary schools?
I think it varies enormously from school to school. I think most schools will probably teach children in their tutor groups or their form groups for a large part of the curriculum, but may well set them in specific subjects. We set for maths, for example. I think most schools would set students for maths. We also set for languages, but that varies. And I think most schools probably don't set for everything in year seven, but it's certainly something to ask the school about when you go, and make sure that you find out what the policy is on that, because that is something that parents have got quite strong views on often.
Now, I've got two questions for you, Morag. One of the things people are asking is it worth asking the school how much they invest in their staff? Happy staff will make for a happy school. Is it a legitimate question to ask about staff CPD?
I think it's a legitimate question, absolutely. I don't think there's never not a legitimate question when you go to school. I think it is a good thing to say, what do you do to make sure that your staff are always up to date with the latest ideas about teaching, to know that are your staff always au fait with what's happening with changes with examinations. I think that is absolutely something that you can ask.
And I think Danny raised extracurricular activities. I mean, all of our schools seem to have such a rich array of activities, don't they?
Let's bring Danny back into the conversation. Danny, what are your thoughts about what Morag has been saying?
I agree with everything that she's saying. There's so many things to consider when you're taking the child, when you're choosing the right school for the child, but really going into the school is the best way to get a sense of it. And also, just I think it's interesting to consider. I wonder what Mara would say about how much you should listen to your child's opinion and how important that is. A lot of children will tell you where they want to go, and it'll basically be based on where all their friends are going. And you'll have to decide how important that is, how important a criteria that is, because they will make friends at new school. It'd be interesting to hear what Mara thinks about kind of the social groups that come into school, and how much the child should be allowed to participate in that decision of where they go.
I think you clearly need to listen to your child, because if you want your child to go to a particular school and they're absolutely dead set that they don't want to go there, then that could be quite difficult for you as a parent, because clearly you want them to start secondary school being positive and enthusiastic about where they're going. But I think there is a need perhaps to guide the child beyond just, this one particular friend is going to the other school, so I want to go there, even if you don't feel that that's perhaps the right place for them. Because as the adult, as the parent, you've obviously got to take the bigger picture in that and think, 5, 6, 7 years down the line, this is an investment for the long term when you're choosing a secondary school. So I guess that's a bit of negotiation to do at home.
And what more do some children join the school in groups and not stay with those groups, and do some children come in completely on their own and form big groups? I mean, do you see the whole spectrum of friendships developing?
Absolutely. We will have, one or two primary schools where we get a lot of children because they're very local to us, and then we will have children come on their own from different ones, or from primary schools where there are perhaps only two or three children.
And do you notice a difference?
No, actually, very quickly they all seem to integrate. I mean, we spend an awful lot of time working out how to put our form classes together. You know, we take a lot of advice from the primary schools. I'm sure all secondary schools do that. But, you know, they're Beaumont students after a few weeks, or they'll be, you know, students of whatever secondary school they're at pretty quickly. So fairly soon you can't really tell where they came from. And yes, there are some primary school friendships that endure, but lots of children make new friends very, very quickly. And I think actually much faster than their parents sometimes expect them to.
Well, that's great news, because I mean ultimately parents are interested in academic success, but like happiness and well-being are top of the list, especially nowadays when there's so much pressure on children from so many areas. You want them to have nice friends who are just kind to each other and you know, make them feel good about themselves.
And that's a really good question, actually, for parents to ask, you know, particularly if you are transitioning in a child who might be the only one, or who might be one of a very small number coming from primary school. Just ask about that, you know, how is my child going to be supported to make new friends if they do come without anybody that they really know, and are they going to be okay, and see if you can find somebody else who is in that situation to talk to.
And more like for parents listening who might have a child with a particular educational need or issue, what's your advice when they're approaching a school? Do they have to say, do they have to ask to speak to particular staff like the Senko, or what different questions might they need to ask?
I suppose good questions would just be, yes, certainly by all means ask to see the Senko, and again ask what support is in place for a child with a particular need that your child has, and just find out a little bit about how the school would support that need.
And is that generally what happens? I mean, do you have a sort of a package in place, or is it, what can parents expect?
Well, it really depends, but you're talking about special educational needs. There's such a range of things could be encompassed by that, you know, from physical disabilities to hearing impairments to dyslexia to all sorts of things. So there isn't one answer to that, but all schools should be able to provide for any child with a special educational need. But just ask and find out what is in place in that particular school.
Great. Before we take a little break, let's just come back to Danny and just get your final thoughts on secondary school. Danny, any last tips for parents, you know, who are anxious and very worried about this period? Is there any way to make it a little bit less fretful?
Well, I mean, the schools are they're really, really good at this, particularly all of our local schools. They know what they're doing. This year six teachers know what they're doing, and they start that transition process in year six. The child will often have quite a few opportunities to visit the school. The parents will have visited. They'll have gone at the end of year six. In year seven, the first couple of weeks are all about induction. So actually, you know, really do trust the schools. They do know what they're doing. And also just keep, you know, as usual, just keep those lines of communication open with your child. Let them know that you're always there to talk about them at the end of the day, even though when they go, what have you done? Nothing. You know, just, you know, look through their books in the first few weeks and talk about who they've met and stuff. And you'll get a really good sense. And as Morag says, actually, most kids, even those who are really nervous about the transition, within about 3 or 4 weeks, actually, you'll think they've been there for years.
Great stuff. Danny Zur, thanks very much for joining us on The Parent Show.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. So tonight we're talking to two deputy heads of excellent local schools. We're talking to David Bullock, who'll be joining us in just a second, who is the deputy head of Verulam School. And joining us here in the studio is Morag McCrory, who is the deputy head of Beaumont School. Thank you both very much for joining us this evening.
No problem.
So, David, there's a lot of talk in St Albans at the moment. We've been talking about secondary school transition and applying for secondary schools. We'd love to get your thoughts. Did you manage to catch the conversation about what were the important qualities when choosing a school?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was looking at the website at Danny's, the school one, which is excellent. I'd recommend people to go on it. It's full of brilliant information for them. Some really valuable questions, obviously, which she outlined there and Morag backed up. But I think the point that Danny brought up was most of all is it's not just about academic results. They are obviously very important, but you need to look at what else the school offers. realistically, you know, certainly the schools that sort of Moreg and I are both at, but lots of the schools in St Albans, we're very lucky as parents, if you like, in St Albans, they offer so much more than just academic success. You know, and we've already touched on things like music and sport and so on, but also things like D of E, ski trips, residentials, all those sort of things that sort of, that holistic approach to developing students, which I think we're very lucky, as I said, in St Albans we offer a lot of that.
That's quite interesting. Obviously, we've got a mixed school, Beaumont, and a boys' school, Verulam, and a big challenging question for lots of parents.
Well, can I say, we are both together in a sixth form.
We are indeed.
Oh, you're all together in the sixth form.
Absolutely.
But I think, have you got any quick advice, David, about whether people should, how they judge whether or not to send their child to a mixed school or not?
I think that's a decision that, as a family, you make. Certainly, I have a son. Hopefully, he will go to Verulam. I think it would be perfect for him. But I have a daughter who certainly, I think, would benefit from a mixed school. You know, hopefully, Beaumont or Sandringham or whatever. But certainly, for my son, it would work. It would. You know, you may have a son where it wouldn't. My son's very good at maths and enjoys sport, and so on, would fit in very well at Verulam. But then, you know, my daughter's very much into music and languages and so on, and I know Beaumont would be an excellent school for her. So I think you make a decision whether you want to go mixed or whether you want to go single sex. Obviously, some people may choose independent schools, and there's such a range of those schools that I think the advice that Danny said was, you know, go and visit lots. I think if you imagine if you were buying a house, you wouldn't go and visit it once. You'd probably go and look around it two or three times at least. You'd take your husband or your wife with you, you'd take your family, you'd have a look round, you'd go to the local shops, you'd go to the park. You should do that for a school as well.
I think that's excellent advice, isn't it? Yeah, that's
that can
really
ultimately have a massive impact on your child's life. So it's a massive decision. It has to feel right for both your child and you as a family that it's the right school for you. I remember a couple of years ago, a parent said to me, you know, tell me why my son should come to Verulam. I said, well, I think you have to make that decision. You know, you and your son, make that decision. Is it the right school for you? I don't want you to come here because I tell you to. I want you to come here because you feel it's the right school for you. And that's the key decision. And certainly I think Danny's point and Morag's about obviously going on open day, which, you know, obviously open days are in effect a setup. But go and look around a school when it's live. You know, that most of the schools will have an open week or have tours. You know, go and have a look round. You know, not maybe once, maybe twice. Go round on your own. Go, you know, hang out outside the school. See, bear in mind that, you know, in certain schools that's 1,000 students leaving in one gate. That might be, you know, quite challenging. But go and see sports fixtures. You know, go to a music recital. You know, go and take advantage. On the website of all of these schools, they'll show you where events that they're running. You know, for example, if you drive up Hatfield Road, you can see on the board outside Beaumont when they've got an event on. We'll go and watch it. You know, go and speak to the students. You know, go to Sandpit Theatre at Sandringham, go to Stags, you know, go and have a look round and see an event, and then you can get a feel for the place. And obviously you talked about culture, but you'll get a view of the beliefs and values that the school, you know, holds dear to it. You'll also get that from the website. You'll also get that from, you know, talking to parents of people you know, talking to friends, go on the Facebook page. You know, all those sort of basic things that you can do. You could also go on Ofsted Parent View. Go on that, and it tells you what the current parents think. You know, that's all really valuable information that you as a parent have access to. And I'm sure Morag will back me up on that. That's what I will be doing as a parent, and that's what I recommend all the parents should do.
I agree with you. I mean, I've been to one of your schools. I won't say which one it is, and it was amazing. There seemed to be a real policy of keeping doors open for adults, which is an amazing experience as an adult, because that's not in the outer world anymore. But it gives you such a good feeling going into school if you feel that children are being taught to treat, you know, their elders with respect, you know.
Yeah, but you bear in mind that most of us as adults, the only experience we've had of schools is when we were at school. And that does have a prejudice over us, because we remember our own school days, and they're vastly different now. Schools are different places to when we went to school. You know, I'm approaching 40, as scary as it sounds, and, you know, when I remember, it's nothing like that anymore. You know, schools are vibrant, you know, enthusiastic, energetic places, full of good teaching, full of innovation. You know, I had a parent once ask me, do you still have blackboards? You know, which is kind of ridiculous, but if you've never been to school for 20 years, you know, why would you, what the hell is an IWB?
Well, if anyone's ever seen a modern school whiteboard, they're so complicated, I don't even know how you teachers turn them on.
Yeah, of course, they've all got speakers and they play videos and they're interactive. The students can write them, you can play games, you can, you know, flick through them, you know. There's all manner of different Prezis and PowerPoints and all these sort of things, you know. It's a vibrant, dynamic environment for learning, and that's what you're trying to create in your school. So no. Students enjoy coming to school and enthused to learn. That's, you know, I get frustrated when people talk about work. It's not about work, it's about learning, so that hopefully when your student joins in Year 7, you've added value when they leave in Year 11 or Year 13, whenever that is.
Now, David, we have to ask you, you did mention Facebook earlier, and I'm sure you've got better things to do during the day, but today there was a heated debate, well, some would say, about secondary schools' policies locally on behaviour management. And we'd love to, you know, some parents genuinely have read the prospectus, maybe read the small print, and realised, wow, children get admonished for what seems like very superficial things, like not having their socks up, the right number of stripes on their tie, blah, blah. Can you and Morag both comment on how parents should sort of interpret that and how they should perhaps feel about it?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Ofsted obviously released a report recently about, Michael Walsh, I think, said about low-level disruption and off-task talk was one of the biggest sort of hindrance to learning, which is quite an interesting thing. Now, that's fine if you're in schools around St Albans, I would agree, but there's a huge amount of schools where, you know, that's not important because they've got so many more problems. I mean, St Albans schools, like we have at Verrill, and we have a very clear, transparent behaviour for learning system, which the boys follow, very, you know, organised. Where they have a consequence ladder, which escalates from a C1, you know, which is a telling off, to a C7, which is a permanent exclusion. And then we have the same sort of shadow system for rewards, so when the boys do well. So when our boys start, they get 1,000 points, and every time they get a reward, they go up. Every time they get a consequence, they go down. And then to be eligible for trips and enrichment and so on, they have to be over 1,000 points. But it's a very good way of setting targets for boys to try and work on. So,
that's nice, yeah.
You know, and I think we sort of almost ours is modelled on one that Sanjung have. I'm sure Bowman have a very similar one. And more often than not, when an incident happens, we sit down with the boys and we say, well, you know, what do you think that was on the ladder? And they'll say, well, I think it was that, sir. And you say, well, I agree. And that's the punishment. And then
okay,
we move on.
Okay, well, let's bring Morag in. Let's hear how they deal with naughty children at Beaumont.
I don't think we have very many naughty children, actually. And I do mean that quite genuinely. I mean, obviously, all schools have to have a behaviour policy. You need to have very clear systems in place that everybody understands for how you're going to deal with anything that's not gone quite right and how that child will be dealt with. And yes, they are, maybe some of them seem a little bit ridiculous. I'm very keen on girls' skirts not being too short, for example, but we do believe that, you know, these things are important because we're trying to set standards. But I think more importantly, the point you made about opening doors, I hope that if you came, any child would open a door for you, but equally I would open a door for any child. It's not about that. It's about trying to create a culture in your school where we all respect one another. And we all understand that we're all members of a community, and we all understand that we have to be kind of courteous and polite and support each other. And if you actually create an ethos where everybody buys into that, then you don't need huge behaviour management strategies, because if all the students buy into that and all the staff buy into that, then you should have a really happy school where everyone is learning and on task and working to the best of their ability. And of course you need those sanctions and those policies in place for when it doesn't happen, but hopefully it won't be too often.
And if parents are genuinely concerned about the way they know their own child, they realise they might get in trouble in certain ways, can they communicate with the school before they go that they're worried about discipline methods or...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the best thing to do, I think Danny made the point, and Dave has as well, it's just really important to keep in touch with the school. And we certainly would encourage parents to come forward. We do quite a lot of work in getting the parents to know the form tutors before the children start in Year 7. And so that the parent knows who that is, that should be the first point of contact, and that they should be able to get in touch with that person, with that teacher, if they've got any concerns. And that might be, I'm a bit worried about, or... So again, the primary schools will pass that kind of information over as well. And I'm sure that would be the same for any school, that they would operate systems where they would encourage parents to just get in touch with any concerns. Because if you can solve problems before they happen, it's just much better for everybody, really.
And what about the incentives? I love the incentives at Verrill. And what has Beaumont got to system do they use to sort of interest?
I mean, it's the same kind of idea. I'm sure it'd be very similar to Verrill of kind of, you know, credit stickers and rewards and certificates and postcards sent home to parents and awards assemblies and, you know, all kinds of things that students can get awarded for. They can get badges, they can get all kinds of things really. And students respond really well to that. And again, I'm sure any secondary school would have a very similar system where you're really looking to say, I think the idea is it should be 80% praise to 20%, you know, admonishment to students, because that really motivates them to do better. So the more that students feel rewarded for what they're doing and praised for what they're doing, the more motivated they're going to be to continue to do well.
Now, a question for both of you. I think a lot of parents think that when their children go off to secondary school, they sort of lose that relationship with teachers. You know, from the early years, they can go into the nursery and speak to the teacher every day and ask how they were and what they ate for lunch, and then primary school maybe a little bit as well. But what would you generally say about the relationship that you're hoping to encourage? And I mean on a sort of a daily basis. Like, do you want emails from parents at every 5 minutes asking about, you know, lost PE year or wondering what they're doing at school? What sort of level of contact would you welcome?
I mean, it's certainly harder at secondary school because, of course, it's not one teacher for the whole day. You know, your child could have 8 or 9 teachers, and each one of those teachers in a week might be teaching 200 children because they've got, you know, a number of classes to teach. So obviously you can't be having weekly contact with every single, you know, teacher who teaches your child. I think the point is to find that main contact, which is the tutor. I think every secondary school will have a system like a student planner or some kind of student record, which is used as a really good method of communication. And I'd agree with what Danny said, look in the planner, look in books, you can get a really good idea for how your child is doing by doing that, and just keep that communication up. But the tutor should be, I think, in pretty much every school, the main point of contact in the first instance, should you have any concerns.
David, what do you think?
It's quite an interesting point. I'll just go back to my point about the transition. I think that's the key, and most schools do a fantastic job in that transition period, which sort of prevents lots of issues. Certainly at my school, and I'm sure most of the schools in St Albans, we do a visit to all the boys who are coming to us, myself and the head and the rest of our sort of transition team. We go and visit maybe 20 or 30 each. We go and visit the primary school. Sometimes we've been to primary school 2 or 3 times years in a row. And so we get the opportunity to speak to the teachers. We get an insight into what the students enjoy, what they like, what they're studying, and so on. And then when we come back, we work very hard at making sure they're in the right groups. And I think you made the point about friendship groups. Sometimes it's not always great for if there were 2 students from some same school to be in the same form, because they've already got that friendship group. By going into another form, they develop another group, and then those 2 groups can be friendly. And then that develops and sort of from there. We, you know, at my school, we offered the normal transition day, which county provide, but then we do a Saturday as well, which is a good, you know, the boys do a range of fun activities and games to get to know each other. And then when they start, you know, we do a range of tests when they start to supplement the information we have on cats and so on, so that we know, you know, in what groups the boys should be in. And then we change that, you know, after 8 weeks, and then we regularly update that and change that and inform parents. But I would encourage all parents, you know, we sort of talk about email, but I think it's difficult for parents because they come from a primary school environment where they see the teacher at the door, you know, twice a day, and then they come and it almost feels like they drop them at the gate and then they disappear and they're grown up by the time they leave. And I would encourage all parents to just contact the school. If they've got any queries, you know, email the school. We have a policy at ours where they have to get back within 48 hours, you know, ideally within 24. If it's a senior member of staff, you know, we'll get back to you within, you know, that half day. With any queries, and then come in and talk to people. That's the most important thing. If you've got queries about your son's or daughter's secondary school, go in, make a meeting with the individual. If it's the Senko or it's the head of PE or the head of languages, make a meeting and say, look, this is my concerns. Can you help me out? Can you give me some more information that isn't in the prospectus or wasn't in the head's talk? You know, I would encourage all parents to, you know, don't cease communication. You know, make more communication, because it's, you know, secondary school is a challenge. You know, it's a huge jump for some of the students to go from a 1-4 entry, very small, into a, you know, a school of 200 per year. That's vast. So in terms of communication, I'd encourage parents really to get involved with their son and daughter's education as much as possible. Don't feel that you're going to put anyone out. know, we want you to come to parents, we want you to come in and speak to us, because then it just makes the whole process easier, because you have a better understanding of your child's progress.
And I have a question for both of you now. You know, from primary to secondary, it's often an opportunity for children to reinvent themselves, if they'd kind of got stuck in groups or stuck in, oh, he doesn't do this or she doesn't like that. I mean, is there, do teachers in secondary take that into account, like the pigeonholing that might have happened in primary that can be maybe loosened up in secondary?
If I'm honest, more often than not, no. Everyone starts with a clean slate. You know, primary school is very different to secondary. Some people come to secondary school, they grow up very quickly and they really enjoy the challenge of learning. Others find it a bit more difficult, and everyone makes the journey at different speeds. The reality is, more often than not, the teachers will have an idea of previous data or history or something, but then as soon as they meet them, you know, they start again. And also, the good thing for students is they might have 10 different teachers. So they've got 10 different ways to reinvent themselves. You know, my son came home from primary school, and I said, oh, how was your first French lesson? He said, oh, I'm rubbish at French. I said, well, you've only done one lesson. And he said, well, okay. And then so we did some French, and we had a look at some stuff, and 3 weeks later, he loves French, you know, and it's trying to have those communications with your son or daughter to say, you know, you can start again, try this. You know, and, you know, that sort of growth mindset is what you're trying to foster in students. So when they start, they can have a brand new opportunity in a bigger school, a newer school, and probably first time wearing a tie and a blazer, you know, for those students. They'll feel different. And secondary schools work very hard on trying to make sure the student's self-esteem is high. Lots of rewards, you know, I think what Morag said there, 80-20. We'd probably even, you know, we'd all probably go higher than that.
Mm,
you know, try to minimise the consequences and really go big on the rewards. And it does make a difference. Certainly as they go through, you know, adolescence, you really want to try and make their self-esteem as high as possible. And, you know, we offer lots of things. I'm sure Beaumont do the same in terms of mentoring and sort of bespoke curriculums and individual meetings and timeout cards and all these sort of, you know, a myriad of different strategies to try and help them be successful.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's a new school, it's a new start, and primaries are very good at giving us sort of good information, but that isn't, you know, if parents sometimes worry, or, you know, if there was problems with the child in primary school, yes, probably the primary school will have communicated that to the head of year, just so that we know, but that isn't something that's then been told to the entire staff. It really does give children a start for a, you know, a chance to really start again. And of course, there's lots of new subjects to do and new things to get involved in, so I think the best thing, I think, as a parent at that point that you can do is really sort of support your child to approach this as a whole new adventure and a new stage in their education, and just how brilliant it's going to be, and really encourage them to get involved in everything that school has to offer. I mean, I like to go in about Christmas to our year sevens and go, right, who has, you know, gone to drama club, been in a sports team, done some music, you know, gone to science club, who's been and done something? And I want to see everybody's hand in the air at that point, that everybody has got involved in some aspect of the school outside lessons. And parents can just do so much to really encourage their children to do that and to take every advantage of what's on offer.
It's so comforting as a parent to hear that you take that level of interest in a school your size that has such an excellent reputation. It's reassuring. It's really reassuring.
So, David, any last points? Go on, sell Verulam to us in a couple. you've got your elevator pitch ready, I'm sure.
No, not at all. The show isn't about selling Verulam. It's about the parents choosing, you know, what in essence is the right school for their child.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, obviously, it appears biased at Beaumont and Verulam, but you could quite as easily have Loretto or Townsend. You know, we're very lucky in Stormers. There's a lot of good schools. Very fortunate.
Definitely.
And I think it's not about selling Verulam or selling Beaumont. It's about just being aware as a parent that all schools do the best they can to give your child the best education, the best chance to be successful. And ultimately, that's all we want. We want your son or daughter to leave us having enjoyed school and then be prepared for the next stage of their life, whatever that is. And I think, you know, we'd all agree with that as teachers, parents, you know, or radio presenters.
I think one of the lovely things is that people don't realise that these schools like Sandringham, Beaumont and Verulam, they work together.
Yeah,
we actually know each other and communicate, which
and
is
you're
funny
not
to me.
I mean, I would actually say that is a real strength of St Albans and Harpenden. I mean, our head teachers meet together regularly. They've got a group called Stash, St Albans Secondary Heads, and they meet, that's all the secondary heads from the whole local area, and they meet together to really discuss it. You know, big issues, national issues, and how they what we work together as a group of schools to, you know, really give the best provision for all children in the local area. And we have a deputy heads group. Dave and I go to that quite regularly, again, where we all sit down as a group of deputies looking at issues that we are, you know, that we are working on. So we all support each other really across the town, and, you know, including Harpenden as well, to try and, as I said, we want to work together. It's not just about our own schools, it's about the town and that wider, that bigger picture really.
Fantastic. Maureen McCrory and David Bullock, thanks a million for allaying so many parents' fears out there. I can see
You're welcome.
A huge sigh of relief across West Hertfordshire. Thanks a million.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.